The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is The Bill Myers Show.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes after 6, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. It's going to be a great day here in Southwest Oregon. And in spite of your feeling about the Commander-in-Chief, President Biden did give a speech today at Normandy about an hour ago. I had some of that, saved some of that, and it is worthy of hearing. I don't really think that they're President Biden's words, but the words nevertheless have some meaning here, and I think they're worthy of being heard.
On behalf of the American people, and as Commander-in-Chief, it's the highest honor to be able to salute you here in Normandy once more. All of you, God love you. Winston Churchill called what happened here, quote, the greatest, most complicated operation ever, end of quote. After years of planning, Operation Overlord was ready to launch just as soon as the weather turned. Across the choppy English Channel, the Supreme Commander of the Allies, Dwight D. Eisenhower, waited. The largest force ever of its kind, built by 12 nations, men, guns, planes, naval craft of every description, waited. The world, captive and free, waited. Finally, Eisenhower's forecaster said there was a window in the weather. It would open briefly on Tuesday, the 6th of June. The general weighed the options and gave the order. At dawn, the Allies would strike. The great crusade to free Europe from tyranny would begin. That night, General Eisenhower drove to the English town of Newbury to visit paratroopers of the 101st Airborne. There were men from all over America. It was estimated that 80% of them would be killed within hours. That was the estimate. But they were brave, they were resolute, and they were ready. One soldier told General Eisenhower, quote, don't worry, sir, the 101st is on the job. Everything will be taken care of. That's what he said. And because of their courage and their resolve, because of the courage and resolve of their allies, it was taken care of. From the sea and sky, nearly 160,000 Allied troops descended on Normandy. Many, to state the obvious, never came home. Many survived that longest day, kept on fighting for months until victory was finally won. And a few, a notable band of brothers, are here with us today. Kenneth Blaine Smith is here. On that day, under heavy artillery fire, he operated a rangefinder and radar on the first American ship to arrive at Normandy's coast, providing direct gunfire support for the Rangers scaling the cliffs of Pointe du Hoc on their daring mission to take out the German batteries. Bob Gibson is here. He landed on Utah Beach about 10 hours after the invasion began. Bullets flying everywhere. Tracers lighting up the sky. Bob drove an M4 tractor with anti-aircraft gun mounted on top, providing critical protection for the infantry against the German Air Force. On that day, and for many days after, he continued. Ben Miller is here, a medic with the 82nd Airborne. At 3 a.m. on June 6th, he and 13 other medics flew over the channel in a rickety glider. Its wings were ripped off by giant poles that the Germans buried halfway in the ground to stop them from landing. They crashed, but they survived. And they did their duty, dragging injured soldiers to safety, treating wounds, saving lives while the battle raged. Every soldier who stormed the beach, who dropped by parachute or landed by glider, every sailor who manned the thousands of ships and landing craft, every aviator who destroyed German-controlled airfields, bridges, and railroads, all were backed by other brave Americans, including hundreds of thousands of people of color and women who courageously served despite unjust limitations on what they could do for their nation. Lewis Brown is here, part of the Red Ball Express, a truck convoy made up of mostly African-American drivers. They landed in Normandy in the wake of D-Day. They rushed supplies to the rapidly advancing front lines. Woody Woodhouse is here, members of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen, who flew over 15,000 sorties during the war. Marjorie Stone is here. She enlisted in the women's branch of the Naval Reserve, became an aircraft mechanic, spent the war keeping American planes and pilots in the air. Theirs has always been the story of America. Just walk the rows of this cemetery as I have. Nearly 10,000 heroes buried side by side, officers and enlisted, immigrants and native-born, different races, different faiths, but all Americans, all serve with honor when America and the world needed them most. Millions back home did their part as well. From coast to coast, Americans found countless ways to pitch in. They understood our democracy is only as strong as all of us make it together. The men who fought here became heroes, not because they were the strongest or toughest or were fiercest, although they were, but because they were given an audacious mission, knowing, every one of them knew, the probability of dying was real. But they did it anyway. They knew, beyond any doubt, there are things that are worth fighting and dying for.
President Biden earlier this morning at Normandy giving a speech. It's quite interesting how the president could not resist. He could not resist the urge to go down the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion talk about people of color and the women who enlisted and et cetera, et cetera. And that it was unjust that they were not allowed to do more. It's interesting how he is trying to recast Normandy and D-Day through the lens of modern insanities, I think, is really what is going on. You know, something else about D-Day that a lot of people don't realize, that it was likely the biggest mass prayer ever led by a president. And that, of course, was President Franklin Roosevelt. He delivered the largest mass prayer in history up to that point on radio. Radio broadcast for the people in Europe about to go on what Eisenhower termed the greatest amphibious assault ever attempted. And in that prayer, FDR, this according to Seth Liebson over National Review, FDR described our fight as a crusade and asked his fellow Americans to pray to God for his will to prevail for the unholy forces of our enemy. And in some units, yeah, 90% fatality rate was not unusual. It did happen. What a day, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to remember. Of course, I am surprised that President Biden didn't wax poetically about all of the transgender truckers and various other supply clerks of LGBTQIA+++ and every other. It's, you know, you just wish you could have just you celebrate the people who were there, remember them, and remember those who are no longer with us, okay? For crying out loud. But when it does come to the politics of what's going on right now, a serious question I wanted to pose with you this morning, or pose to you this morning on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, is it time for conservatives and Republicans to stop pounding the president over his infirm situation 90% of the time? Because it's pretty obvious that you can get President Biden to, you know, you can get him to work for an hour or two, maybe 3 days on a good day, or 3 hours rather, on a good day. You can get him to actually function. I don't know if they're pumping him full of the vitamins or if there's methamphetamine involved. I mean, I just don't know. But the one thing I couldn't help but notice is that national talk show hosts, conservatives everywhere, the pundits, everyone's just pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding infirmity. And I can't help but think that when it comes to a matter of politics, do you want former President Trump to go against current President Biden, or do you want him to go against Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom, of course, was campaigning up here yesterday, apparently. He was over in the Iron Gate. Captain Bill will tell us more about that story. You know, he was visiting the dam situation. You know, it's kind of like the open secret that the push is. And when you have the Wall Street Journal doing the job of the Democratic Party wants Joe to go. And in all seriousness, a serious question, should you stop helping the Democrats by continuing to pound President Joe? I think it's a serious, reasonable question to ask. It's like just, okay, if the Democrats may yank him somehow or find some way to get him to step aside, maybe, maybe not. But arguably, would not President Biden be an easier target or an easier person to be able to eventually go out against rather than someone of some other younger communist like a Gavin Newsom that could be pulled out of stage left? Just saying. Been wondering about this quite some time, all right? It's 22 minutes after 6. This is KMED and 99.3 KBXG, the jukebox. I appreciate you waking up here on the Bill Myers Show.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious, specializing in European-style pastries, offering the largest selection of fresh-baked pastries in the Rogue Valley, croissants, danishes, cream cheese pockets, bear claws, scones, turnovers, Napoleons, buttercream cones, beignets, cinnamon rolls, coffee cake muffins, and more. So many fresh-baked goodies just waiting for you. Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 3, and Saturday, 8 to 3. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
First, we place our sow's ear into the device. Shut the door, press the button, and voila! A beautiful silk purse. Wow.
Usually, people who make big claims can't deliver.
Hey, this is just a hot sow's ear!
But not at Lithia Body and Paint. Since 1946, we've been providing collision repairs so good, it's like it never happened. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Hey ladies, come in and take a look at our Anna Zuckerman collection at Father and Son Jewelry.
It certainly is stunning. The jewelry has been worn by actresses on the red carpet at the Oscars.
Ladies can look like $1 million and no one can tell the difference between the synthetic lab-created stones and gems. And the settings are breathtaking.
Come be dazzled by the Anna Zuckerman collection at Father and Son Jewelry on Jackson between Riverside and Central.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
624. Appreciate you waking up here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Richard Emmons will join me. He's the publisher of the Oregon Eagle, also the editor of the Oregon Eagle. And we're going to talk a bit about the Rogue Valley Times, the circling around the drain. I mean, we really don't know. I just kind of want to talk about the future of journalism here in the state of Oregon as it has been looking. And Richard, of course, has an interesting take on it. Always enjoy talking with him. I was only half joking yesterday, given that EO Media Group is looking for a buyer now with more resources. We need to fund Richard Emmons and have him buy the Rogue Valley Times. I think it'd be great. I know Richard's probably saying, hey, I've got enough to do with the Oregon Eagle. But it's a fella can dream, can he? All right. In other news this morning, in the Times, by the way, $640 million Jackson County budget got final unanimous approval yesterday. And then, of course, Democratic County Commissioner candidate ended up showing up here. Yeah, Denise Krause, you know, the one who was behind the bloodthirsty attack on the counties, just like the Democrats in Josephine County. Of course, they were turned back there. And she was saying the people had spoken and they want lower, you know, they want lower salaries. Interesting little backstory on this one is that prior to the meeting, I guess NBC5 camera crew or camera person showed up there and was trying to videotape the Denise Krause statement. Obviously, they had been tipped off, or she told them, hey, you know, this is going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show, because essentially Denise Krause was campaigning in front of the county commission yesterday. Denise Krause, who never, ever complained about salaries on county commissions when she was running before and failed. Okay? You know, so we just realized she's using it for campaign effect, but NBC5 came first. They were trying to set the camera up behind the county commissioners, and they said, no, you're not allowed to be back there because it's a security issue. And then tries to set up the camera over on the ramp. No, you can't set up on the ramp, and you know, this and that and the other. What are you trying to do? Oh, well, I want to talk with Denise Krause. Well, you can talk with her after the event. It was kind of funny. Obviously, the media was saying, okay, yeah, we're gonna get a, you know, great soundbite there. But yeah, this was Denise Krause essentially campaigning in a public comment is what she was doing. They didn't respond to her. But interesting there. OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, reporting this morning. The Twin Rays group, you know, the New Age hoo-ha group that has been doing kind of weird things or being accused of weird things in Ashland, this spiritual group, controversial New Age group that moved into Ashland, appears to be shutting down its retail store downtown. And the duo of Akasha Sananda and Miananda Maitreya Shekinah, known as Twin Ray, moved into town back in 2020. They bought a 96-acre gated estate in the North Hills of Ashland because that's where the spirits live. You know, it's just the way it goes. A couple of years later, the couple opened a boutique store at a prime location downtown called The Haven, and they got notoriety for selling expensive bio jewelry that claims to raise the vibration and expand the awareness of its wearer. Massive crystals and various supplements with alleged health benefits. And it certainly, I would imagine, it would raise the banking balance of the Twin Ray folks. But some former followers of Twin Ray have spent up to $80,000 on cleanses, retreats, jewelry, and other products. They also claim that some who can't afford the high cost of Twin Ray's retreats have worked at the couple's estate, answering emails and attending to them. But the retail space on East Main Street has just recently been put up for lease, so who knows what is going on there. Well, I'm at Wake reporting this morning that the challenges in the counties aren't just in Southern Oregon's counties. Multnomah County, Multnomah City Council, City Commissioner Renee Gonzalez, writing to Chair Jessica Vega Peterson and the board yesterday to protest the allocation of money for tents, tarps, and syringes, the distribution of which Gonzalez has opposed in the past. I'm concerned that the Joint Office of Homelessness Services plans to further invest substantially in tents and tarps without clear parameters on how such materials will be distributed and tracked in the city of Portland. Yeah, in other words, is it really helping the situation? Meanwhile, Grant Stringer reports this morning that a judge has ruled that Governor Tina Kotek is illegally keeping people behind bars. And reportedly, at the height of COVID-19, Governor Kate Brown commuted the sentences of nearly 1,000 people locked up in state prison. And Kotek has reviewed as many of 150 of these early releases and reversed at least 24. Kotek's effort to reel back in people that Brown released has met the ire of judges. Judges are not real happy with this. I guess if the governor says you're released, the governor says you're released. And former President Trump, of course, candidate Trump, hopefully the next President Trump, has been flipping his 2020 election stance. He He's now pushing for an absentee ballot and early voting push, this according to Fox News. That's a total reversal of what he was talking about before. Last election cycle that he was running, it was about hang on to your ballot to the end, hang on to your ballot to the end. And now everybody knows that you have to get in on the legalized cheat of the ballot harvesting. So you got to do it. So you got to play the game. Vote early, vote often, I guess. So there we go. And how are you? The rest of it with Town Hall News coming up in just a moment. Richard Edmonds joins me from the Oregon Eagle after that.
Fontana Roofing metal roof customers are always thrilled with the results, but there could be a downside for certain homeowners. Here's a confidential conversation captured en route to a job site.
You know, these metal roofs are pretty popular, but I suppose they do have some disadvantages.
Oh, come on. Really? For instance...
Well, if you actually enjoy replacing your roof, you may not get a second chance since metal typically lasts 40 to 70 years.
Oh, yeah, that's a real bummer.
And they reflect UV and infrared rays, which can save up to 25% in cooling costs.
Point taken. Everybody knows we need to support the power company as much as possible.
Plus, they're fire resistant, they can sustain wind gusts, and are pretty low maintenance.
Wow. Who wants to get a good night's sleep knowing all of that?
The responsible thing is to be upfront with the facts and let our customers decide.
Agreed.
Call Fontana Roofing for full disclosure regarding their metal roofs. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. 12 U.S. and British World War II veterans were given Legion of Honor awards by French President Emmanuel Macron on the 80th anniversary of D-Day today. Macron pinned medals on the 11 Americans and one Briton at a ceremony at the American Cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach. Jurors in Hunter Biden's criminal trial in Delaware have gotten a look at the gun he bought in October of 2018. The jurors on Wednesday saw the firearms transaction record at the center of the case. Robinhood Markets is buying cryptocurrency exchange Bitstamp for about $200 million. As the company looks to speed up its cryptocurrency expansion globally, Bitstamp has offices in Luxembourg, the UK, Slovenia, Singapore, and the United States. On Wall Street, just before the opening, the Dow futures are down 12 points. More details at srnews.com.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and retirement savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing these schemes. Real patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is and fight back against the system. Now, with the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k may be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas into our election protection report. You definitely won't hear any of these in the mainstream news. Get your free copy of our election protection report now. Just text TRUTH to 76626. Plus, today you'll also get a free gold investment kit from our sponsor, Augusta Precious Metals. Text TRUTH to 76626 now and get the free report and gold investment kit. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text the word TRUTH to 76626.
Standard text and data rates may apply.
It's Bill Meyer, and here's another listener who saved at Sky Park Insurance. Meet Jason from Medford.
I've been with the same company for 4 years and heard Steve's commercial. I gave him a call, and he saved me nearly $1,000 a year on my two cars. Thanks, Steve.
Sky Park is an independent agency with providers like Progressive, Safeco, Foremost, and many more. Call Steve for a quote, 261-5444, or visit skyparkins.com.
Hi, this is Steve from Sky Park Insurance. At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Hey, did you know that one of the largest U.S. flags in the state of Georgia stands proudly in Pure Talk's parking lot? Now, to honor that flag, Pure Talk is supporting America's warrior partnership Now, they have a mission to prevent veteran suicide. Now, you can help this great cause simply by making the switch to Pure Talk before Flag Day. Get America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. Just dial #250. Say the keyword save now for superior cell phone service, half the price of Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and you get to help a vet in need.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
6:35, Richard Evans joins me. He is the publisher and also the editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com, Southern Oregon newspaper, and a lot of news going on in the print world right now. Richard, always a pleasure having you on. Welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back, Bill. Good morning.
Richard, there have been a couple of big bombs going off in the media world over the last few days. There was EO Media Group, which, of course, runs the Rogue Valley Times, Ben Bulletin, and numerous other newspapers all across the state, kind of like a smaller newspaper conglomerate. They're cutting back on printing and laying off a whole bunch of people and changing some things. And you were saying that there are also rumblings of what happened in Portland, Portland Tribune. Tell us about that, too.
Yeah, this happened just a few days ago. Pamplin Media is the owner of the Portland Tribune, which is twice weekly in print and online. And it also publishes two dozen other publications in Oregon. Well, it announced that it had been sold to Carpenter Media, which is a company based out of Mississippi that is buying up, you know, small publications across the U.S. So, you know, the owner of Pamplin he's 82 years old, and it's just, you know, they're announcing it was just age and health and other things. And there's always more to the story. I mean, they're a newspaper. I mean, you know, there's always a little more behind the scenes. It's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle for EO Media. It's a struggle for Pamplin Media. And you know, as we know, the Rogue Valley Times is now affected, and then, you know, the predecessor, different paper, but the Mail Tribune is no longer around. So, it's a challenging landscape.
By the way, what did they ask you? Speaking of the Mail Tribune, Stephen Saslow, I had admiration for what he was trying to do. He was ultimately not able to steer the SS Titanic of left-wing journalism to a more, neutral kind of point of view, and then I think he just finally gave up on it. But whatever happened to the Mail Tribune archives, do you know where that ended up going? Because there's a lot of stuff in there over the decades.
Yeah, no, I think they've been around for 100 years. I don't know. I'd certainly be curious to find out the answer. You know, if you've got an email, don't use my name. I'll buy you a free coffee. I'll buy you lunch at Diner 62.
Okay.
If you broker the deal. But no, it is interesting because, you know, I've loved newspapers and read newspapers all my life. You know, it's part of, what I grew up with, the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal. It's what opened my world to business and what's in the economy, and so forth. And, I'll make an analogy. See, with the Eagle, we just expanded into Jackson and Curry County. So we changed the name of our paper to the Oregon Eagle, and that opens up possibilities for the future.
Yeah, you're expanding, and while a lot of other of the print media is really in retreat right now, it would appear.
That's right. And, you know, we're in our fourth year, all right? So, I kind of kid people, like, my many, many months of being in the newspaper industry. But I do have the advantage of not coming in with a newspaper background, that I'm able to look at it, the business side of it, without, you know, that experience that can sometimes be a boat anchor, like, this is how we've always done it. And we look at ourselves as being in the news business, not the newspaper business. And I think that's a real hang up for the legacy media, because news today, it's a 24/7 news cycle. You know, people want to engage on the topics of the day, and even printing, you know, 4 days a week, you know, there's news happening on three other days. There was a 5 days a week. Is it 7 days a week? I mean, the LA Times was 7 days a week, but these days people don't want to wait, you know, a day to get the news in the LA Times the next day. It's just, you know, and they're being impacted too.
And they're also impacted in different ways in which I think with the early days of the internet, people have been resistant to going to a paywall system. It, almost as if for some reason that reporters and editors and everybody's just supposed to work. And then you put a pop-up blocker on your computer so you don't see the pop-up ads. So you want the news, but you don't want to pay for it on a subscription, and you don't want to, you know, watch the ads either. You know, so it's like, boy, it's tough on the business model these days, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it is. No, it really is. It really is. You know, especially when you're, you know, again, you're trying to publish so often. I mean, it's even a burden on your advertisers because, you know, I mean, the worst case example is if you're publishing 7 days a week, I mean, your advertisers might have to do 7 ads per week. You know, if you're doing it weekly, it's 1 ad. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, bi-monthly, it's 6 ads per year. So it's just, it's a burden on the advertisers to, if they had to, you know, support it all. So, you know, in a way, the newspaper industry, a lot of it's going to nonprofits. So there are news foundations that provide the news and people can make tax deductible donations. You know, there's just different ways of doing it. And I just think you've got to get the news to the people how they want to get it. And I almost want to, like, you know, not throw up. I mean, that's hyperbole. But the idea that President Trump went on TikTok this last week, and within 24 hours, he had something like 400 million followers on TikTok.
Right.
I mean, that's mind-boggling. And then the surveys show that, you know, for the people that are under 35, it's something like 70% get their news from TikTok. And it's hard to really validate that. But that's where the eyeballs are. You know, that's where they're going to see the news.
And that's where they're going. The other problem about seeing, though, is that an emphasis on video, it's like, are people stopping to read? Are they no longer reading, and will they get to the point where they no longer can read? You know, if someone's not dancing and delivering the news at the same time, will they know? I don't know. I'm engaging in a little hyperbole, a little speculation.
Look, let me tell you this way. I'll feel like a true confession on air.
Okay.
Like, I used to like judge young people for like, why do they watch all these videos? You know, why don't they read books? You know, why don't they read newspapers and so on and so forth? Well, when you study what's happening in the Oregon public school system over the last 10 years, 20 years. I mean, Governor Kitzhaber had a plan to mandate teaching reading in all Oregon public schools using phonics. And not too long after that, he got pushed out, largely by the teachers' unions, and they put in Kate Brown. And then she focused on raising high school graduation rates.
In other words, lowering the standards. In other words, lowering the standards, right?
Lowering the standards. So if only half the graduates can read, why would we be surprised that they're just watching videos? Why would we? It's ludicrous. If I didn't know how to read, I mean, look, if I crash landed into Russia, am I going to pick up one of their newspapers and read it? No, because I can't read Russian.
Yeah.
So why would we expect students to read English language newspapers when they're not taught how to read, you know, and how to think?
Boy, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit. Now, Richard, I don't know what your faith is, but I was baptized a Catholic when I was a young boy, right? This, but everyone in Pittsburgh was either Catholic or Jewish, right? That's the way it was, right? One way or the other. And the way that worked, though, is that you remember the old way that the Catholic Church was, well, we don't want the peasants knowing how to read because we have the priests here, with the priestly classes here to be able to read the Bible to you. You know, that kind of thing. And you have to wonder if the teachers union with this attempt at trying to keep people not reading or not wanting to go with phonics, et cetera, and keeping them sort of dumb and ignorant about that is a way to recreate a priestly class in the secular world. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too weird to even think that way. But
no, I don't think it's too weird at all. I mean, you just look at the makeup of the United States Supreme Court. I mean, there are lots of Roman Catholics, and many of them went to private schools and the best colleges. They might have learned to, you know, read Latin for all I know, which is the basis for over half the English language is Latin. So, yeah, if you dumb down the teaching, if you dumb down, then people, they're not stupid. They're ignorant or they're unable to read. I mean, the Wall Street Journal had an article this week about a Harvard University professor who retired after 52 years. And it was a very candid discussion with him in the Wall Street Journal. But he just talked about how, like, it used to be you could give somebody a C, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And he's very candid. He just said when they brought in more blacks, you didn't want to give a black a C. But then why would you give the white student a C? So now everybody gets A's, you know, and A pluses. How do you penalize a student if you can't give them a C, you know, a B or a C or a D or an F, and then they don't have to study as much and they got time to protest on campus?
Yeah.
Because they're not busting their chops trying to get an A or at least get a B. I mean, just pass the course. I mean, a C does mean you pass the course. And so those are things that they do, you know, over the long term. I mean, to look at this in like a hard way to look is like every obituary notice, most likely that's the loss of a subscriber to a print newspaper.
I imagine so. That's yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the hard reality. They read the newspaper. They trust the newspaper. They were born before the internet, before Facebook, before the even bulletin board systems. And that's what they trust. And they look at the news and it's, you know, that's where they get a lot of news. But the reality today for community newspapers, you know, like the Tribune and others, is that people can get the high school football score on Facebook. I mean, literally, somebody can hold their phone up at the game and they can FaceTime live the football game in live,
you know? Right.
Like for free. So anybody that's following them on Facebook could see the end of the game. They can hold their phone up to the scoreboard and say, you know, the caveman won the football game and here's the score. And
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah, you don't need to wait for KDRV or KOBI or Rogue Valley Times or, you know, Daily Courier or whoever, you know, to be able to deliver that to you, although you do. The other danger, I think, though, with the push to video on news, trying to get everybody conditioned that you don't want to read, you want to do video. And I'm not playing this as an old guy saying, you know, get off my lawn, you kids. OK, I'm not doing this, though, is that the one part about knowing how to read and being able to read text is that you can get a lot more information much more quickly than you ever can when you're sending everybody to videos to try to do everything sort of in real time. The amazing speed that you can read text and also skip around and find different little bits of information that you need out of a text source is far superior, but I am concerned that the culture is pushing toward a non-reading populace. I think that's ultimately going to be a danger in the future.
No, I agree. I mean, well, it's why, you know, I mean, students today, I mean, talking to the parents listening and grandparents, you know, so try to help your children and grandchildren get the best education they can and help them to learn how to read. I mean, Senator Art Robinson proposed a bill in the last legislative session that would have allowed principals to hire anyone, homeschooling moms, anyone to come into their schools and have them tutor students that don't know how to read.
Oh, teachers unions, of course, shot that down right away, right?
Correct. And mm-hmm. It's one of those things the thing about it is, like, you know that there's an outcome that is measurable. I mean, when a student graduates from high school and the parents know and the student knows that they can't read, but they just got passed along, no child left behind, you know, that kind of thing. And they get graduated and, you know, it's not like they have to do, you know, long division in their head, but just basic math, basic reading, basic writing, be able to stand up and present yourself to do a 3-minute speech before the county commissioners, basic things like that. You know, there's such a mix, but you know, the results are known. I think that's one of the reasons that the Three Rivers School District school bond, $39 million, lost big, because there's just a general perception that the schools aren't delivering the goods mm-hmm. as they used to. And it's another reason why people should find out about the school choice ballot measures. They have until June 30th, but they have to collect over 100,000 signatures to get on the ballot in November. And, you know, that would allow, there's two of them. One would allow open enrollment. If you want to change schools or change school districts, as long as the other district or other school has openings, then someone in the public school system can go to whichever school they can get their son or daughter into. And then the other one is more educational spending accounts so that the families get money that can be used for private schools or homeschooling co-ops or do-it-yourself homeschooling. Yeah. And whatever money they don't use at high school graduation can be used in a trade school or for college.
Having a conversation with Richard Emmons, who is the publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. And, you know, Richard, it's funny. We were talking about the challenges that that journalism outposts such as Rogue Valley Times, EO Media, Portland Tribune, and everything they're having right now. But it's funny how we end up wandering then into a core challenge, which is people reading, right? People reading. Mm-hmm. And that really is, you know, if you truly want to inform citizenry, they're going to have to get more into this because sometimes things are a little more complex than what you want to put into a TikTok video. Okay, let's just be honest. And unless all you're wanting to do is have a idiocracy society at some point, and maybe that's the plan, maybe that's all we need. I just know, though, that one of the greatest gifts that my parents gave me as a young boy was being taught to read when I was about 4 years old, when I learned to read well at the age of four. Now, I know there are reading disabilities and things like that, and I'm not criticizing that. I understand some people have great challenges with that. But it was the one thing that opened up the world and continues to in a way that just video, I don't think, can't do. The push for, you know, if it's not in a video, I certainly can't learn on that. Okay, you know, that's sort of the attitude right now. It's a dangerous path I think we're on. Anyway, now I know you're doing fine over at the Oregon Eagle. You've actually expanded there, but when it comes to print, where do you think EO went wrong? EO Media and maybe our Rogue Valley Times went wrong, and then we'll take a call or two.
Yeah, you know, when they announced that they're coming in and launching a paper, you know, my reaction was that they should have gone print weekly, you know, because if you print once per week, then you can hit all the weekend, all the entertainment,
yeah,
you know, the grocery ads, all, you know, what to do and all of that. And then you stay digital because they do have a good, you know, website. I mean, they do, you know, publish news articles, I don't know, 5 days a week, 7 days a week,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, they do.
So, but going print 3 days a week or 4 days a week, You're just in that middle ground where you do need to have all of that overhead of printing the newspaper and all the paper and ink and postage, or having staff to deliver the paper. And you might be surprised to know this could have been a diner quiz, but I'm going to give you the answer. There's only one industry in Oregon that is exempt from all the child labor laws. And that's the newspaper industry.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is this about the delivery? Because I haven't seen a kid delivering a newspaper in a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, that's where it's from. But that's why they're able to pay them as independent contractors and, you know, have them collect the money and all of that. And it's always a great way to get started. And with the minimum wage so high, it can be a good way for a young person to get business experience.
Yeah, but even you, how often do you print at Oregon Eagle? It's bi-monthly, right?
We do bi-monthly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and the rest of it is on website and, of course, engaging. I wonder if another challenge that a lot of the conventional media is still experiencing is still the fact that it is so largely left-wing, it can't help itself for the most part. Now, you are unabashedly conservative, and I get that. I'm okay. But I almost wish that that papers would just come out and say, yeah, we're a bunch of bedwetters, okay, and everything that Alan Journay writes from SOCAN will get printed, which is like what happens with the Rogue Valley Times. But then you try to challenge any of the narrative, and you're just repressed. And, you know, how do you design yourself as a community newspaper with that kind of attitude ideologically?
It's really, really, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you've got to allow people to disagree agreeably.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you're not going to, you know, print the truth, you know, about, you know, like the cost of, well, it's like Three Rivers School District. It's not like I'm picking on them, but it is $30,000 per year per student. And you would think out of that amount of money, they could put a new roof on one building or one school per year, and over 18 years, they'd all have new roofs.
But then Democrats would look at your criticism of that. Oh, you hate the kids and you hate school. No, it's $30,000 already allocated to every student. This is real money. I mean, that's more expensive than Cascade Christian and all the other very expensive private schools by double. You know, and people need to think about those kind of things before they pass bonds. Right? That's kind of where you're coming from. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, they have to look to me. It's like it is a big discussion, but they have to look at the whole model because it was about, I think it was 1992 where Three Rivers School District was formed by combining several, smaller school districts, thinking that we'd become more efficient. But it just hasn't worked out that way. It's more costly and the results have gone down since then. And performance is what matters. I mean, ultimately, whether a newspaper, or a news source, a TV, radio, anything, if you're not delivering the goods, then the people won't buy. And that's true with schools, and it's true with newspapers.
All right. 656, Richard Emmons, publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle. And let me go to line three. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Question or comment?
Yeah, good morning.
Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hi there. I'm curious, why do these media companies buy these failing other companies, and they still always never seem to work? Why do they keep buying these?
I don't know, Richard. What do you think about that?
The idea behind it was, look, it's similar to the school district idea, but in the case of newspapers, you were able to share the back office expense. So the back office expense means you could have one editor that's the copy editor that looks for all the typos, and he could serve four newspapers or 40 newspapers, and you got the subscription service. You could have the webmaster that does 10 websites instead of just one. So there are efficiencies that can be found. The challenge, though, and this is what like USA Today would, Gannett and all that, or Gannett, is that you can have 400 newspapers, but if you take out that local contact, local reporting, then you can kind of suck the marrow out of the bones, and it doesn't work. People don't like it. It's too generic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the idea, that if you buy it up, then, if you have 400 radio stations, for instance, as opposed to 400 separate radio stations owned by a local owner, the idea is that you become more efficient. And that's why you have McDonald's, and they have, 30,000 restaurants. And then you've got like Jimmy's Burgers, and there's one of them.
Yeah.
And and people can choose one or the other. But that's the main thing. It's efficiency. You get more volume discounts. You're buying the paper. You're buying the ink. You can have one printing plant, and it can print newspapers for 10 newspapers. That kind of thing.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest concerns I've seen with many of the major news outlets is how often, Richard, it seems to be reporting by news release. You know what I'm getting at? Where so much of what seems to get reported as news is actually a news release put out by a government agency or a nonprofit. And how much of the news seems to be, here's the latest state grant to a nonprofit group, that kind of thing, to provide more services. You ever get that feeling when you look at
Absolutely. I mean, because, the newsrooms, just taking the Daily Courier as an example, I mean, when I think Dennis Rawley was there, they had like 22 people in the newsroom, and now it might be half a dozen, something like that. I don't know. They don't let me inside there, obviously. But it is a lot less because when your circulation goes down, if advertising goes down, you can't hire as many staff. So then you're more dependent on taking press releases from, government agencies and then just regurgitating that. It is work. I mean, that's why at the Eagle, we encourage citizen journalists attend meetings and send me reports or post them in we have a Facebook public group. And then we also have a private discussion forum that's for subscribers only, but it's the people have got to get involved. The people have to attend the meetings. They've got to speak up. They've got to get better informed. And, we've been able to publish, many articles that are better written than I could have written them because they know the topic. And they're able to do their research. And that's when I step in as an editor. and help them to write the article and so forth. But it's just a different world. And the government agencies, you know, I mean, they're at the federal level. I mean, they have like whole TV studios. They're putting out all the PSAs. They're putting out videos. They have, you know, YouTube channels. I mean, in a sense, the newspapers are competing with the federal, state, local governments.
You think that maybe that's even sort of you think maybe that's part of the plan, because you hear all this talk about, well, I know that there was a discussion about subsidies for Oregon newspapers or, you know, we have senators and Congress critters that are talking about, you know, we need to save local journalism and we're going to subsidize that. I can't help but think that comes with some strings or with some implied strings at some point, where if you're depending on a government subsidy or even the nonprofit status for your news foundation that you were talking about earlier on, that ultimately government gets even more control over the narrative. What say you, Richard?
No, that bill is in Congress has come up and down the last several years. And no, I definitely oppose that. I mean, and I've read the bill, and it's one of these things where it's worded to where it would subsidize full-time reporters. So if you had a newspaper that was published weekly and you have like three part-time employees, well, they wouldn't get that tax credit for the business. You have to be full-time employees. You had to have even special media liability insurance so that in case you get sued for libel, then, you know, you have insurance for that. So they screen out kind of the upstart newspapers. It obviously wouldn't cover blogs, because theirs is certainly not respectable.
Yeah, so it's really about subsidizing the big boys that have carried water for decades, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. I was suspicious about that every time I see those things coming up there. Richard, I appreciate the conversation on the media landscape. It'll be interesting to see what happens with EO and, of course, Portland Tribune being sold off, and I know you're relatively healthy. We appreciate that. OregonEagle.com for Richard Emmons, and you could subscribe if you feel the wish to. I do. I subscribe to all of our Southern Oregon papers, and including yours. And Richard, thank you very much. Okay? Be well.
Yep. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
It's a couple minutes after 7 o'clock, and this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KPXG Grants Pass. Like I said, for the call signs, the old habits die hard. KPXG Grants Pass.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $4.45 a month deal.